This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the fall classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Filling up right behind the Bills bench right now with their flags and their hey, 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 hey.
Hey, hey, hey,
hey. Hey, hey,
hey,
hey. Let's go Buffalo chant.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
All right, well, picking up on yesterday's chat with Sal, which ended up talking about board games in the locker room, operation and water on the knee. And it takes a very steady hand.
That was while Sal was with us.
Well, no, but we talked about the ping pong table in Baltimore.
We spun off
into board games.
Yeah, that's
which
right.
you love it when that happens. Sal Capaccio on the West Her Hotline. So, Sal, no injury report changes today. So, status quo on that front?
Yes, and I think that just kind of lends itself to what we said yesterday, which is, most of the guys who are limited are coming back. You know, it looks like they're kind of, to me, trending correctly, you know, towards playing. We'll see. It doesn't mean they have to play necessarily, but it looks like you're going to be without in this particular game. I wouldn't be surprised if tomorrow that Sean McDermott rules out Daquan Jones, Joshua Palmer, and Taylor Rapp already for the week, with the others on a kind of let's see where it goes basis, but thinking that, you know, they could very well play.
What's the impact of a Rapp absence here? What's a nice word for it? Uneven. You know, you've had certain moments with him, but he's physical. I don't think he's the worst. But if he misses, what happens?
I would think it would be Jordan Poyer would be your starting safety alongside Cole Bishop. And, you know, it's somebody that the Bills would trust and know that he understands what to do and understands the scheme. So I think that would be the number one thing that would happen. Number two, I wonder if Jordan Hancock would be the next man up, basically, so to speak, in that position. And, you know, if they were to have to go to somebody, he would be the guy there. Cam Lewis is still around, obviously, so he'd be somebody they could rely on as well. But I think it would be Jordan Poyer. The only question would be, do they elevate Jordan Poyer from the practice squad, or do they sign him to the 53-man roster?
Watch out if Rico Dowdle gets out in this game. I mean, that's maybe where how do I as an offense try to exploit a safety? Well, I don't know. Like, that's not as easy to do as a corner. We just throw at them all day. It's not as I think I'm right about this. Not as cut and dried as that. But you will have, you know, the Bills might have a problem if Carolina's running game is effective, and there's reason to think it will be given how the Bills have played and both teams have played.
Yeah, sure. And if you're the Carolina Panthers, you're going to get the ball to Rico Dowdle a lot and say, let's go. And, you know, you come stop us. And I asked several Bills players today about the challenge of facing their two running backs, and especially Dowdle. And actually, Jordan Phillips said he played with Rico Dowdle in Dallas last year, and he knows exactly what kind of running back he is. The biggest thing, the biggest takeaway was tackling. Just, you got to tackle. There, yards after contact. Maybe Cole Bishop mentioned to me, yards after contact, that they get a lot there. And, you know, Taron Johnson, making sure you're tackling, that's going to be the big thing. It has been the big thing. If the Bills were a lot better than they have been tackling through the first, you know, six games, I would think maybe one of the losses could have become wins, whether that's against New England or maybe especially against Atlanta.
Boy, I really feel uneasy about the prospect of Poyer starting this game and playing like a lot of snaps. Maybe, you know, they have Hancock there, and, you know, if they need to, because I appreciate the veteran savvy, and like, maybe, I don't know, we just watched Joe Flacco turn the clock back last Thursday. Maybe Jordan Poyer can have like a moment in the sun and, you know, pick off the savvy veteran backup quarterback Andy Dalton or something and just make a play that can really swing things. But man, Sal, I'm just worried about him just athletically at this point. Like, I know he's got all the grit in the world and the intelligence in the world. I just don't know if he can get to point A, from point A to point B, like you might need to.
I totally understand that. And, you know, that's something that obviously the Bills have to, you know, guard against. But I think they would hope they would understand that as well from their own end. I mean, this is a player that they have themselves moved on from over a year ago, probably for a lot of the same reasons you're talking about.
Right.
And they could probably, you know, mask it in some ways, right? Making sure he's not in that position where he's got to be a guy you have to rely on to make that play. And, you know, you have help, and that's why you have Cole Bishop back there. So, no doubt. And if you're the Carolina Panthers and you see that, you know, how can you try to exploit that? It's a young receiving core, no doubt. And, you know, when it comes to the run game, though, that if Jordan Poyer's not making tackles in the run game, you could point at him and saying, okay, he took a bad angle, but you got to stop him before he gets there, you know, before he gets to the safety. If it's in the passing game and they go over the top of him, then you say, okay, well, obviously he wasn't athletic enough to make that play, and he's got to be better at keeping things in front of him. And that's where, you know, you could try to attack right there.
The likely debuts of the two suspended players, Michael Hoyt, Larry Ogunjobi. We talked about this yesterday, and I didn't get a chance to say it if it wasn't already said, but as suspended players, like think of Jordan Addison with Minnesota or Rashee Rice, I feel like there's no reason to hold back. These are not guys who have, you know, been hurt and you might want to ramp them up. They are players, however, though, that are playing on this team for the first time. So you put it all together, Sal, like how heavy is the workload for each player in your mind?
Well, I think it's going to be extremely heavy for both of them, and especially probably Ogunjobi, considering that right now you have three healthy defensive linemen, defensive tackles, excuse me, because Daquan Jones is most likely not going to play in this game. That's Ed Oliver, Deion Walker, and Larry Ogunjobi. So you're getting another defensive tackle from somewhere, Zion Logue, Jordan Phillips. You would have to sign Zion Logue to the team, because they've already used his elevations. You could elevate Jordan Phillips. You could elevate Fedarian Mathis. You could go with five. But if it's only four, well, guess what? I mean, that's four guys. They're all going to have to rotate in. He's going to have to play a pretty significant, you know, piece of the puzzle and a lot of snaps here. I think the same thing with Michael Hoyt from a standpoint of, you know, they're going to want to put him out there in different situations, move him around a little bit. So, but numbers-wise, it's not as critical for him as it would be for Ogunjobi to have to contribute, you know, snaps-wise, because you have six and probably five for the game defensive ends.
Yeah. Can we get just a little scouting report, if you can refresh our memories on what each of these players bring? I guess more so Ogunjobi. I've sort of thought of him as, you know, when people have been saying, oh, we'll wait till we get our guys back, right, get our suspended guys back. I feel like Hoyt is in one category of that, as someone who I think, like you just said, maybe they'll move him around and maybe there's potential for impact there. I feel like Ogunjobi is just a rotational piece. Like, I'm not expecting a really high ceiling there, but I could be wrong. So just what are both of these players?
Yeah, well, Hoyt is a move around the board chess piece, kind of like a Lorenzo Alexander, right? And I remember when they signed him and I'd reached out to Lorenzo and said, hey, this is a player that's very much like you. When you were here, like in Sean McDermott's defense, can you give me some insight on, you know, what was that like, you know, to have to play here, have to play there, and go down, go up, and all that? And he said what was interesting is the first year under Sean, they were still figuring that out. They really didn't know until maybe the second year where, okay, this is how we're going to use Lorenzo. And but I think this is different, where I think he comes in, Michael Hoyt, they have a plan for him. They're going to use him as an edge rusher. They're going to use him maybe off the ball. I mean, you're going to use him, but they're going to have a plan. It's not going to be, let's try and figure it out and see where he fits. I think they have a plan coming into this. This is a player that they targeted in free agency. They knew he was suspended. They still signed him. And interestingly enough, they actually said that they had targeted him and saw him and thought about him for a couple of years, actually, mm-hmm. and watched him, monitored him, whatever it was. So I think it's the kind of player they've always kind of wanted in this system, maybe ever since they had a Lorenzo Alexander. But yeah, he's a guy that, by the way, I mean, he had like 6.5 sacks a couple of years ago when he played a lot of snaps for the LA Rams. He has pass rush ability, no doubt about that, but he's good against the run. He is, and he's a physical, super duper energetic player. This guy just plays very, very fast and very energetic. His personality is like that too, by the way. And then you have Larry Ogunjobi, 6'3", 305. I mean, his legs are like really large. You know, he is an anchor. You know, he can be an anchor there for you, but he can be explosive. He can penetrate, but I think you're going to want him to be more of an anchor against the run to kind of slow other teams down a little bit. And I think that's where he can really maybe help this defense where it's been lacking to give you another presence in the interior.
You know, it's kind of hard to really put your finger on what they may do with Hoyt. But like, how creative could you envision the Bills getting with a player like this?
It's a good question. Thought about it. I think they could play three linebacker sets with him. He can play strong side linebacker.
Yeah.
And, you know, he mentioned himself about like dropping into coverage, and like that's something that he thinks he can do very well and he has done. So I'm thinking, okay, if teams want to go heavier and the Bills want to go with a base set, he could be your third linebacker, and he could actually drop into coverage and be somebody pretty competent in that in a lot of ways. So I think that they could do that. I think they could just say, okay, moving. If you guys remember the first few weeks, you've seen sometimes Javon Solomon kick inside on passing downs. I think that's what Hoyt's going to do sometimes. I think Javon Solomon's kind of replaced what they have envisioned for Hoyt, which is, okay, third down and long, we're just going to kick him inside, and we're going to try and have him beat with speed through the interior to put some pressure on the quarterback here. And I think that they'll use him on the outside as well, as his natural position basically would be defensive end pass rusher.
You mentioned Solomon there. I imagine it's one of he or Landon Jackson that comes out as far as like the inactives go to make room for Hoyt on Sunday.
That's right. And I wouldn't be surprised for either, simply because, like, to me, Solomon's ahead of Jackson, but maybe you want a little more physical. Hoyt going over Solomon might be kind of like a redundancy, right? So if you have both of them active, I would say this, though. I think they really like having Javon on special teams. And while Landon Jackson can play special teams, they probably trust Javon. Mm-hmm. And I think, by the way, I think Michael Hoyt will play special teams, by the way. Like, I think he'll come in and he'll be a special teams contributor as well.
With Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline, Mike Shope and the Bulldog here. One discussion making the rounds, one topic with the Bills, Greg Cosell on with Ross Tucker earlier brought this or something adjacent to it to light, just sort of what the Bills' passing offense is at this point. There's a balance here, I think, obviously, from more closer to high octane, much more pass-heavy, over-expected, you know, that kind of stuff. But you're more turnover susceptible when you play that way. And what have the Bills done intentionally, I think, is bring that back. They run the ball more and, you know, go figure they turn the ball over less until the last couple of weeks anyway. So what do you think of that balance and where the Bills offense is? Do they need to turn the wheel back the other way a little bit?
And be a little bit more open and throw the ball, and Josh Allen, is that what you mean?
Yeah, like I guess, way? You know, intermediate routes. I mean, Cosell's talking about what the Bills aren't as an offense. He brought up Detroit as an example, how you just see, you know, those 10 to 15-yard plays all the time for the Lions.
I would love it, and I think that I would love to see that, and yes, but I just don't know personnel-wise what their capabilities are of doing that, to be quite honest with you. Like, you know, where does that come from? And to me, that's gotta be Dalton Kincaid and Keon Coleman more. Those are where those guys work, and they can really help you. Sorry, guys. Excuse me. One second. Sorry about that. Anyway, I think that's Dalton Kincaid and Keon Coleman territory when you're talking about that. And I just, Dalton Kincaid's got to be available. And I, you know, obviously this week, and by the way, he's not wearing a red non-contact jersey at practice this week. So even though he's limited, that's good news. He was wearing red, you know, last the week leading up to the Monday night game, he didn't play. We haven't seen, you know, we haven't seen Keon Coleman really take that next step other than maybe a game or a couple plays here or there throughout this season. So, yes, I'd like to see that. I'd like to see the running backs a little bit more involved in the passing game. And that doesn't have to be just leaking out into the flat. You can get those guys, you know, on linebackers matched up, getting 10 to 12 yards downfield. We've seen that before with the Bills. So, yeah, I would like to see that. I just think the Bills have really intentionally played the long game with keeping Josh Allen healthy and making sure that they roll into the playoffs with an effective running game, which they have. They're very good running the ball, very good offensive line, and a healthy quarterback. And I just think that's a big part of the reason why they kind of play the way they play, which is we don't kind of need to play the other way if we're going to win and keep our quarterback healthy. But now that they've lost a couple of games with some turnovers here, you're like, well, at some point, you might have to start playing that way a little bit.
Right. I mean, the Falcons, they scored 14 points. I mean, their opening drive they scored on. They scored on their opening drive of the third quarter. There were 9 other drives in that game that generated 0 points. So, I mean, it's a little alarming to me that when they've needed it in a game like that, they just didn't seem to have answers. And I really struggle, Sal, with the blitzing was so much of a problem for them because isn't the story, like, you've got a quarterback like Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes, go ahead, blitz him at your own peril. He's going to chew you up. And there was just no chewing. Sorry, I'm not trying to be cute with
you. No chewing.
Mm-hmm. No chewing. I don't know. It was really stunning to me. I know it's just one game, but it was really stark to me that they did not seem to have answers for that.
In order to have answers, partly you have to have guys winning for those answers to take shape, right? And I think that that's been the issue a little bit here, and that's why you're seeing, again, the wide receiver stuff come up again today. You guys were talking about earlier, and, you know, guys being available. We've talked about this for a long time, but especially lately. I remember this exact conversation after they lost 2 in a row last year, Baltimore and Houston, and saying, look, I can tell you right there from the field, like, guys aren't getting open. And, you know, in the Baltimore game, Josh got hit a lot because of that. And Baltimore was the eye-opener for last year. Atlanta's the eye-opener this year, which is the same game plan, which is we're going to put a lot of pressure on you and say you can't beat us on the outside. And you're not going to have an answer there. Now, what I'd like to see an answer would be a little bit more of the running backs involved and leaking them out a little bit. And I would say, too, I do think Josh has to be better than he was Monday night at maybe not bailing on that a little too soon. And I thought there was plays where he kind of did that a little too much, where, you know, if you watch the All-22, you kind of freeze it and go, man, there's the answer. Bam, just hit James Cook right there, and he didn't do it. Man, don't tuck it and get ready to and try and escape that right there. Don't flick it out on that one where he flicked over to the left-hand side over there on the fourth down. Like, maybe he could have actually turned his hips and thrown the ball. It seemed like Josh wasn't even trusting and being a little bit too panicky in those moments. You know what I mean? And that probably comes from the fact that they were just heating him up so much. And he's like, I got to get rid of it. I got to figure something out quickly here. And if you're trying to figure something out quickly and something's not developing quick enough, I think you can get there.
Yeah, I respect that. I mentioned yesterday that I looked at Joe Marino's breakdowns, and there's a few examples there where he's just like, there's a throw. Throw the ball, dude. Like, just throw it. That is open, and he passed that up. So, yeah, I don't think he's blameless here. What I think might be happening, and this is, I'm reluctant to go too far here, but if he's not trusting that, you know, if he doesn't trust the guys to get open, he's of course he's getting heated up on top of it. That's a bad combination, right? Like, if he feels some frustration with there's not enough here, and I don't know that he does or does not. I just know that he looked frustrated on Monday night, and it certainly sounded frustrated after these two games. And I don't know. They need to find some answers pretty quick.
Yeah, one of the answers on Monday night got hurt after he had a couple of nice plays and catches, right? And that answer probably isn't available this week. So, you know, where do you turn? And one of the guys you turn to is Elijah Moore. And then what happened on Monday night? When it came time to make a play in a critical moment, they weren't on the same page. And Elijah Moore kept running, and Josh Allen threw it, you know, to where he thought he would break off the route. And those things are going to happen when you don't have as much time on task, because those aren't the players that you normally work with in those situations, in those moments. And then when you're throwing the ball deep to Tyrell Shavers because you have to make a play, as much as I respect and love what Tyrell Shavers has done to make this squad, that's just not the answer that you're looking for from the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah. So we've got a little more than a week, right? A week from Tuesday is the deadline. And you're around this team. We're talking about it all the time. We all know how Brandon Bean has positioned himself back in the spring about the wide receiver room. But now Palmer's out week to week. Coleman is not so far taken a step. I mean, I doubt the Bills are ready to give up on that. But I also wonder how much they feel like they can count on it, evolving to a point where they can really count on him as a go-to guy. Like, how likely, if you add all that up, all right, Bean and everybody eats and being so adversarial about criticism about the receiver room, how likely is it, you think, that they try to make a trade at that position?
I think it's likely they're looking into it. I think it's likely that they're exploring options and everything that we've talked about. I just don't know how likely it is to actually be able to make it happen. You know, there are definitely cap constraints when it comes to this. There are, assets that you have to think about, and we can all say does not matter with the picks, heck with the picks. And to a point, I understand that because you're in a position where you're trying to get the number one seed, and this seems like it's at least as much wide open as it has been in many years. But, I mean, what are you really talking about to give up for, certain assets that might become available there? And then, last year they go out and get Amari Cooper, and that was nice for a hot minute, but then he has a bit of an injury. It never really materializes. You wind up giving assets for a player that never really wound up helping you at the end of the day anyway, and you didn't have didn't have enough time to really totally onboard him and get him involved and integrated, and he missed some time. So all those things have to be – you have to think about that. I know you guys have broached this a little bit, and I would never, I would not think that Brandon Bean wouldn't do something simply, as you said, Bulldog, out of principle, right? Out of saying, well, I'm not going to do this now after I made the statement and showed the faith, I'm not going to go and not do this. I can't think. I mean, that's not, his job is to not do that. His job is to say, look, I mean, if this team needs help, we need help, and my job to go out there and get it in this moment.
I'm with you. I think, there's more information now, right? Like, back in April, he might have felt like Keon Coleman was already off to a good start in the offseason, and he'll take a step, and Palmer wasn't hurt, and they didn't lose two in a row scoring 14 points in one of the games. There's more information, and so I would expect him to try. Again, I don't know if he can do it because of everything you just laid out, but I don't think anything he has said in the past would restrict him from doing it. I would be surprised if that were the case myself.
No, I agree. But again, what is available? It's so, the natural reaction in past trade deadlines or even in this last year, they did trade for Amari Cooper. And then when they don't do something, I inevitably get a lot of people who say, I can't believe they didn't look into doing this. I'm like, well, how do you know they didn't look into doing that? Right? I don't know. Looking into something is way different than actually being able to do it or having the willingness to do it. And I don't know. We never will know a lot of those, the differences between how much they looked into something, how much they were willing to do something, and how much they had something planned to do, but it never happened.
It's a fascinating angle to this with the deadline coming up. We didn't get to Carolina today. We'll make sure to do that tomorrow. Thanks, Al.
Yeah, real quick, who should Bills fans just root for Minnesota tonight, do you think? Or is there's a case to be made to root for the Chargers, right? Because then Chiefs. you keep the Chiefs still at third in the division.
I guess. I have so little confidence that Kansas City is not going to get there this year to really even be thinking about that. Yeah. But you're right. Like, if they lose seven games, I mean, they're at three. They go Bills. It's hard. After they play Washington, their next four games are all tough. At Denver is one. They have at Dallas, maybe is not as tough. I don't know. Like, it could happen. It happens sometimes in the league where a team that everybody's afraid of just can't get in. Cincinnati a little bit last year. Mm-hmm. So, sure. You have your mind in the right place.
I think I would say Vikings. Not even
because on the chance that the Bills actually do have to fight for a wild card, you want to keep a team like the Chargers with another loss against an NFC team, right? I mean, of course that totally makes sense.
I guess so. Yeah.
The Colts are the team I couldn't think of. They play after they play Denver.
Okay,
it's
the
right.
Chiefs. Yeah. All right, we'll talk to you tomorrow, same time. Thanks, Al.
Yep.
There's Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline. His appearances are brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
I think of the many interesting ways to discuss the bean receiver trade topic, what would you do? A lot of us just want better wide receivers, but like Sal's making the right points. You can't just have them because you want them. And, you know, you might be investigating it or you might not be. What would you do? Given how he has sounded and what he's done, I'll tell you what I would say to that when we come back after sports. 803-0550 for your calls. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the fall classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I don't think he's right now a guy that you could just put out there by himself and go like beat coverage, really versus any corner. I just don't believe he's that guy yet. I think he's got to be utilized a little bit like they do Shakir. I really think he should become like a, at least right now, and specifically early in games, just
like a
get him
guy?
The ball in space, like a bubble guy, an RPO guy, ball in space guy. Yeah. He's not whooping people.
Dan Orlovsky on Keon Coleman. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, 803-0550 to call in. Sabres and Leafs tomorrow night, now at 7. Quickly, before we get back to the Bills, what do you think they do with Luukkonen? Does he get a game this weekend? Why else have him here?
I don't know why else you call him up. Yeah, I mean, he needed to show that he could play a game, and he went and played a game. And so, yeah, I would expect it to be Lyon and Luukkonen. As tough as that might be, I mean, the kid played so well last night, Ellis. But I think, you know, you should see if Luukkonen, you can get Luukkonen up and running. That should be your tandem. I don't know what becomes of Ellis. I'd like to see him get another look. And if it goes well, then I might really be tangled up. But it's just not realistic to carry three goalies for very long.
Oh, don't we know it?
Yeah. So they're in a bit of a they have a nice problem in that they've got two guys that are playing well, and the other guy that's just coming back now recalled is supposed to be the best guy of the bunch.
It is pretty Sabres that this would happen.
Yeah. Right.
Like if the guy last night, Ellis, struggles, then there's nothing to talk about.
Yeah, you got no decision at all.
It happens that both guys that are sort of hanging out until Luukkonen is ready have both been good. Line, of course, every other game. So now it's kind of, you know, sometimes the Sabres you just have to roll your eyes. Like, this is one where,
yep,
if they had an easy decision, okay. But they really don't.
No.
And, you know, it wasn't like Luukkonen was great last year. They're paying him, though.
Right.
He's had a good year 2 years ago.
And you have not yet really seen him in the net with this structure, with this group, with them playing, you know, the way that they're trying to play, and mostly have been. I mean, they opened the season with three straight losses. But they've played mostly pretty good hockey. Even Montreal Monday night was not a game. They started slow, but they weren't, you know, they're limiting chances. They're doing a decent job of that. So I'd be curious to see what Luukkonen looks within that. But, man, it's hard. You want it quick, but Ellis is such a cool story. I mean, it's hard not to, you know, as a goalie dad, watching the family, the ride they've been on. The kid's 25 years old, played 4 years of junior hockey, 70-some games in the ECHL. Takes him until 25 to get here, and just to have it gone like that because Lukanen's back is tough. Like, I don't know. I don't feel comfortable anywhere with this right now.
It kind of always was the plan, though. I mean,
That's right.
He would not be taken aback, I think.
Yeah, that's right.
Let's go to Michael next. Hello.
Hey, guys. Not to pivot off the Sabres, but to piggyback on your last conversation about what they might do, the Bills, that is, at the deadline, I want to kind of plant a flag that, as unexciting as it might be, I think of the Saints receivers, it's Brandon Cooks that would be the most likely that we land. And it just checks all the boxes. He potentially fits the role that Bills fans say that we need. It doesn't ruffle feathers in terms of target share. And if they want to keep the everybody eats mantra, this isn't a name like an Olave or, you know, whoever else has been thrown out there that you come in and you have to get the ball to. And he should be cheap. I think they've alluded to the Emmanuel Sanders era a lot and how much he helped them. That would be an insane return to expect from a Brandon Cooks at this stage, but I think it feels oddly familiar.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I wouldn't expect it to have much of an impact, but I could say that about almost any idea, right? And you're not going to get somebody who's going to, probably anyway, just going to blow up in a good way, unless you're talking about trading a first. Thanks, Michael. What I think about, when I think about this Bean point and, like, would he do it? Well, yes. We want to think that if we were in this position, we wouldn't want to be attached permanently to our old positions. You know, like, that doesn't seem optimal. Just because I thought this then does not mean I have to think this now. That does not seem optimal. But this, for me, is a little bit more than that, which is that he was defiant about thinking that they had the position covered. You can't tell me that we haven't addressed it. You just can't tell me that. Of course we have. Last year, I grant you, you could have told me that. Now you can't, and I've had it. Like, he was defiant about it. I doubt that even still relatively early in the season is always going to be about the playoffs. That hasn't changed. That's when it's going to come to fruition, and that's when we had our problems last year. Not during the season when Mac Hollins was their number one, I guess, but it was in January where they did not have the go-to guy. That's the complaint, right? That they just do not have that guy,
right.
And the playoffs revealed it. I just doubt, given how defiant he was, and just like thinking, if it were me here, I'm not ready to concede defeat on this yet. I'm not ready to capitulate yet. Yeah, my offense is struggling for it. I mean, it's relative because they were, you know, flying for a while and most of last year. But I had two bad games, if you want, and I had injuries. And now you want me to do what? Like trade a day two asset for somebody that could, this would not be Brandon Cooks, but somebody that would just sort of have force you to recalibrate the whole pecking order and everything like that. Because that anything short of that is really almost irrelevant, I think. You know, you're almost going to waivers.
If they were
going to
trade for Brandon Cooks, I would say why bother?
Right. Just like sort of it borders on being irrelevant. I just doubt that he's ready to capitulate on this, and I really would understand it because it's still early enough. There is the injury point. Let me see this through, all right? I told you what I thought. We did what we did, or we didn't do what we didn't do, and now I want to see what it is when it really matters, which is where we're not there yet. We're not to the point. I mean, the games are important, but I don't have a verdict on this yet in my mind that would tell me, yep, as somebody that did it this way, that I was wrong.
I think that's the best point that you can make in this from that position. We have two more games before the deadline. Let's see. I probably won't have Palmer. I mean, if he's week to week, I guess there's some chance he could be back next week because they did have a bye week in between here. But I'm definitely not I'm with Sal expecting to hear him and Rapp and Daquan Jones ruled out tomorrow morning when McDermott joins Sal on the Extra Point Show here on WGR. But the rest of it, the key thing in within that is that it's in the past he was defiant about it. Was. A lot has happened since then.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G. More towers and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You know, the games, the standings. Does he have Josh Allen banging on his door? I mean, I figuratively speaking, you know, through Joe Brady or through Sean McDermott. Does he have Sean McDermott banging on his door? Like, where's we need another guy? McDermott might be more aligned with this than we think. I don't know. I think there would be pressure for him to concede. And I don't think it has to be embarrassing. Because it's pro sports. Things do change. You know, if he even needs to address it, like, I believed what I believed then, and it changed. That's it. It's not. It doesn't have to be that hard. So I know that he made a spectacle out of it. They chose to make a spectacle even further out of it, like highlighting it in their draft recap video and stuff. And, you know, so they went hard at it. I don't think any of that has to matter. And frankly, if it does to him, then that would be the most alarming thing I could hear about the guy that's running the Bills, is that he doesn't have – he's too proud of his previous opinion and his previous stance to admit I need to change course. Because what are you trying to do? You're trying to win the Super Bowl while Josh Allen is still the weapon that he is. And if these are all big ifs, okay? If your quarterback, if your coordinator, if your coach suspect or have even told you we need more, we need something else, we don't have it, whatever it is, then your job is to try to facilitate that. And again, that we maybe won't even know how hard he tries, if he tries at all, to do it, because, you know, like I said earlier, the Saints want to trade all their guys, including Brandon Cooks from the previous caller. But they don't necessarily have to make a trade with the Bills. They might like the picks they think they could get from a team they might think will finish behind the Bills in the draft order, or above the Bills in the draft order, you know, behind the Bills in the standings is all I needed there. Sorry to be confusing about it. I would need him to get over himself. If your premise is correct, I would need him to just get over it. Like, don't be too proud. You're hurting yourself in the long run if you don't try to fix something that is ailing your team. If it really is, again, like, they've had all the time to go pour it over. You know, maybe we're all wrong and Josh just needs to throw the ball quicker or something. I don't know, but man, you shouldn't have a job like that if you can't admit I needed to do a different thing than I thought 6 or 8 months ago.
And that is really a tough accusation. You know, we don't know if that's the case.
That's right.
I'm not saying it. I'm not assuming that Bean is too proud. I just think if I were he, I wouldn't be ready to wave the flag on this didn't work. I still have more reasons, enough reasons to think that it still will. Given I'm somebody who thought it would in the first place,
that
built it this way purposely, I doubt he's at a point now where, yeah, you know, those guys were right. It's still early enough for me to doubt that. I don't have to be right. 803-0550 for your calls. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.